So hello and welcome to Cover to Cover, and today I'm lucky enough to be joined on the phone by Brian McMahon, who is going to be talking about his beautiful brand new book, Brand New Retro. So hi Brian, welcome to Cover to Cover.
Hello Paula, thank you very much for having me here.
No problem at all. So where to begin with this book? It's just absolutely beautiful to look at. It's very much a coffee table book. It's very, very big. So do you want to maybe tell our listeners a bit about what the new book is actually about?
Yes, for sure. I'm glad you think it's beautiful. I worked very closely with my friend Joe Collins to make it something very beautiful that you lift up and you really just want to get into it. So the book, Paula, it's essentially a combination of 5 years' work that I've done on my website or my blog called brandnewretro.ie. And that blog was about digitizing a very rare niche Irish print content that previously wasn't online. So it started because back in the 70s, I was involved with the punk scene in Ireland. I was in groups and I was producing fanzines with my brother. And I noticed about 8 years ago that none of this stuff was online.
Yeah.
So I kind of said, I need to digitize that. I need to at least preserve it. But I did nothing about it. I did nothing about it really until April 2011, almost 5 years ago, when my dad died, and I had to go to the attic to get some, retrieve some old photographs.
Yeah.
And I found one that I had of him, and that was the first thing I scanned in because I wanted to share it with my brothers and sisters, you know, and that was the way to do it. And as soon as I scanned it in, I realized, oh, the transformation from a little small photograph into something big was amazing. I hadn't really been scanning much before that, you know,
I
was just amazed by how beautiful it turned out. So that night I knew straight away this was the start of what I had been thinking about doing, and thereafter I started digitizing then the fanzines I was involved with, and I put those on the blog, and I got a lot of interest, particularly initially from my friends. But then I realized that when I was in the attic and started looking through all my own stuff as well, like other magazines from the pre-internet age had no online presence at all, and there was some great stuff in them. So I decided to select bits and pieces from them, including things like adverts, and scan them and post them on my blog. And then it got really popular. People like Broadsheet, for example, picked up on it, and the number of visitors to the site increased. And within a couple of years, then I was winning blog awards and web awards. So, you know, I think people of my own age could remember some of the stuff, and it was nice to get that connection back to that period of time. And then the younger people, a lot of them were amazed at sort of either the design features of the content, or even maybe the sexism of some of the adverts. But in some ways, it was educational and entertaining. And so, sorry to go back to your question.
No,
That's what the blog is about. And I teamed up with my designer friend, Joe Collins, about 18 months ago. Agreed that Joe would work on the book with me.
Yeah.
Joe is actually coming from a graphic design background and also in the advertising industry or agencies. So, like I said, he had a real love for the content.
Yeah.
And between us, I knew we were going to produce something that we were very proud of, and that was going to do the material that's in these fantastic magazines justice.
I mean, nostalgia at the moment is absolutely huge. I don't know whether it's like a generational thing, but I know personally from my own perspective that like everyone loves the 80s and the 70s, and you see these ads, you know, you can't find them online. Generally, you look around and you can never find all the old 70s ads. And, you know, now I suppose it's very PC. A lot of ads are very sort of, you wouldn't have seen a lot of the older ads. You'd never get away with them these days.
No, that's very true. And there's a lot of instances of that in the book. Even apart from being PC, even like health and safety, there's a photo shoot in the book of some fashion models in Dublin Zoo.
Yeah.
They're right beside the hippos and the rhinos, you know, quite dangerous. And of course, there's the ads for cigarettes, groups of people sitting around all together having their cigarettes. And so, but it's kind of, it's cool to see what it was like back then as well.
Yeah, definitely.
Know, or in my case, to remember it, and then for younger people, as I said, to see this as well. So, and you're absolutely right. It's amazing. I mean, I was kind of shocked initially. Why was this stuff not online?
Yes.
Not just my own stuff, but things like magazines like New Spotlight and that. But the reality is, like, well, who's going to spend the time on it? Who's going to fund that?
Exactly.
A lot of these publications are now long gone. You know, they're out of business. They no longer exist. So there's no incentive really for anyone to run a proper archive for them as such. So, but I think that's going to change over time. Now, I think like what I've done as a hobby essentially has brought some of these old things back to life again, almost, you know, things that would have been lost otherwise.
That's the thing, like having the original materials as well. You know, a lot of these things, people just threw them away, you know, magazines, just, you know. You don't think what like future generations might be interested in. You know, it's all history.
No,
I suppose.
That's natural enough, isn't it? I mean, I know, like maybe this week with all the papers full of Bowie stuff, people might hold on to
newspapers
because it's quite historic. But generally, yes, you throw it in the bin, and it's actually those papers, the ones that were or those magazines that were thrown in the bin, that's of most interest to me, because in those magazines would be the normal day to day adverts or little features that have got lost, I weren't kept. You know, it's funny, when you go, I'm constantly going to, you know, secondhand shops and markets and car boot sales, and you'll see things like maybe the assassination of Kennedy in a lot of places, where people kept that, you know, but, you know, they didn't keep 2 days later. And it's the paper 2 days later that I'm more interested
in,
because the Kennedy thing is obviously well covered, you know.
Yeah. I mean, where did the idea come from to actually put all these into a book, per se? Then obviously, I know you're saying you have the website, but where did the idea come from to put them all into a physical thing?
Oh, I think it kind of was always there, Paula, while I was doing the website, you know, because it's nice. I like the physical, I like the artifact, and it was really a matter of time, getting the right time and the right person for me to work with. I was comfortable doing the website by myself, but I needed the right person. And you know what? The right person I knew all along.
Yeah, he was there.
I knew Joe Collins as a friend.
Yeah.
And we were just talking during the World Cup the previous year, and Joe was actually just changing jobs. And he was preparing a portfolio, and he put his actually portfolio together as a book.
Right.
You can do this now. I mean, technology is great. You can go off to a printing company and get a book printed for relatively small cost, you know.
Yeah.
And he put his beautiful portfolio together in a book, and he showed it to me, and we talked about it, and that's when we kind of said, let's do a brand new retro book. And, you know, to be honest, the book is all, the source material is all coming from print media, so I think it's very nice to bring them back to their original format.
Mm.
And having them all together in the book, I mean, as you said at the start, it's coffee table style, but it's something you can pick up and look at it again and find something different in it. There's great variety in it.
Mm.
And it's just lovely to have them all together in one book. And it's almost like one big magazine as well.
Yeah.
When you look at the variety that's in there, and the content is typical of a magazine. There's like fashion, there's music, showbiz, and there's even a sports section. And of course, at the end, there's the letters and problems pages.
Yeah. I mean, did you intend on the book being that big? That big? I mean, it's a lovely, it's lovely, it's beautiful. The size and the even the weight of it, you know?
Yeah. It's absolutely. Do you know what we probably had intended? There's 208 pages in it.
Mm.
I think we're going to go for 224 originally, you know. So, but it's funny you say that, because what Joe and myself did first was we kind of made a prototype of the book, and it was bigger in width.
Yeah, yeah.
It was more, and it was great to get that back from the printers. And the first thing I realized was, you know what, it's too big.
Yeah.
And because you want it to fit on your shelf as well, in your bookshelf, and you want to be able to carry it home from the shop. So, again, prototyping was a great way to sort of help tune the final design for a brand new writer that hit the shops there last December.
Yeah. So, I mean, was there a lot of planning that went into, obviously you had a lot of the articles and the information and stuff before the book came together. Was there a lot of planning needed to put everything together to make the book?
There was.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely. A lot of it would have been in my head over time. And like, obviously, there was big decisions made. Well, what was the structure going to be? Were we going to do it by decades, for example? That's one way of approaching it. But no, I wanted it to be more like almost like a magazine in some ways. And the chapters, you know, what have we got? We've got music, showbiz, fashion, lifestyle, sport, and readers' lives. You know, it took a couple of iterations to sort of finalize that.
Yeah.
And then, of course, there was issue with stuff we had. We knew we wouldn't get copyright clearance for it.
Yeah, yeah.
Some stuff we had just was too poor in quality and as regards the resolution and the original source material was just too maybe damaged or not going to recreate good enough in the book format. So. And then I wanted to get a mixture of colour and black and white. I wanted to get a mixture of decades. But overall, I wanted the book to be like a visual history of Ireland since the 60s, but to be light, not to be heavy, if you understand.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I think there is a social and cultural history there, but it's done in a nice life way.
Mm. I mean, you talked about copyright there. Something I hadn't really thought about. Was there? Did you have many issues with copyright, or was it fairly straightforward?
No. It's not, and it's not straightforward at all. And I guess having the website for the last 5 years has allowed me to establish contact with a lot of people. So, for example, if you take there was a fantastic magazine in Ireland in the 60s and 70s called New Spotlight. That was published by John Cochran. Now, the magazine's long gone, and unfortunately, John died a couple of years ago. But I was in touch with his family, and they were okay to give permission to use material from his magazines.
Yeah.
And in some ways, you know, they were very supportive because for the information was lost. It was no longer out there, and in some ways, I was the book and Brand New Retro is maintaining John's legacy.
Yes, definitely.
When you look back and see that he was able to get a magazine out every week, you know, in colour in Ireland, promoting Irish, you know, without show bands, but with a lot of good Irish artists there as well, giving him that platform was amazing. And you know yourself, you're working on a radio show, getting out every week. There's a lot of work in meeting those deadlines.
Yes.
And I think it's probably have gone on documented in as a sort of a major influence on Irish pop culture and on Irish society through those ambitious and optimistic years of the 60s.
Yeah. So, I mean, would you say that the book is it an extension of your website, or do you think does it run alongside, or is it a total sort of new way of looking at things?
It's very similar. Like most of the content in the book is from the website, but I did put in new stuff that was never on the website just to give it I think that was important. What's different, though, is the way how you engage with it.
Yeah.
You know, it's a physical thing. You leaf through it. It's a different experience than scrolling up and down the screen. And it's a very different experience. And as I said, I think it's lovely to have the print material back in print format.
Yes.
And I think it documents... It's funny, like, people... I would have a lot of people who follow the website and know, you know, visit it very regularly and... They're coming across stuff that was on the website, but they hadn't seen it before, or they missed it. So it's harder to miss it in the book, I think. I think the book set out to achieve what we wanted to achieve, and
No, I was in Easton's yesterday, and I saw the book on the chart there, and I was like, oh my god, I'm going to be talking to him tomorrow, and it's just
great.
You know, it must
what
be.
What number was it? Do you know? Do you know what number?
I don't know. I think it was 17. In the top 20.
Right. Certainly, the last time I was in there, I was just over a week ago. It was, 17 in the top 20.
Yeah,
which was fabulous.
Oh, that's brilliant, isn't it? It's amazing.
International chart. That's against the Stephen Gerrard.
Yes.
Another top seller. So, that was a very proud moment when I saw that myself.
Yeah, yeah. I was talking to another author recently about how, you know, it must feel for authors to see their book, you know, their baby, which they've put so much love and time into, you know, physically there in front of them, people looking at it, people picking it up and looking at it. It must be a very, very strange feeling.
Oh, it's a nice feeling, though.
Yes.
And it's, you don't get that with a website, I guess, you know, unless you accidentally see somebody looking at your website on the bus or something.
Yeah.
It might be a similar kind of thing. So it is. And the book obviously was out in early December. So we did make it in time for the Christmas market. So I know a lot of people bought it as gifts for their friends and family.
Yes.
Which was nice, too. I think it did make a nice gift. And it's one interesting thing, Paula, that's happening is that people are getting back saying, oh, do you know that picture of Andy Fletcher from Depeche Mode sitting in a Dublin pub? Well, that's my granny.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, and I love that. And I said, well, what's her name? And, of course, she's dead now because she was 80 back then. And the lady who got in touch says, yes, her son is actually now 80. You know, and then she was able to confirm that the pub that picture was taken in was the Hill 16 pub.
Wow.
Which was great because I knew it was from around that area that the Depeche Mode were playing in the SFX hall in Dublin.
Yeah, yeah.
And they went out for a photo shoot. And so there's another thing where there's a picture at the back of the winner of the Miss Lovely Hands competition.
Yeah.
And a colleague of Joe... it turns out it was his mother.
Wow, isn't that amazing? Are you getting a lot of those now? Are you getting a lot of people saying, oh, that was my auntie or my, you know?
Yeah, indeed. And even like there was a guy from the UK got on that he did the, he shot the photograph for one of the ads that was used for Best Menswear.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a famous enough guy actually now from London, and he worked in Dublin for a year in 1967.
Yeah.
And, you know, he could tell me some of the stories that happened around then, and I think that's great. I'm very curious about the stories behind all the photographs and the ads, and I think that's fun. Your mind can sort of run wild a little bit. Imagine how they these things.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose it's still an ongoing project for you. I mean, I'm assuming that you're still looking for things, you know, even to like today, you know.
Yes, I'm constantly on the lookout for new source material, and as you can see from the book, what I'm interested in is primarily Irish publications from the 1960s onwards, particularly that have. You know, imagery and advertising in them. I know most of the magazines now. I would have known most of them because I'm 55 and remember the magazines when they come out first, except for some of the ones in the 60s.
Yeah.
So I was too young then. So, I'm always on the lookout. So if any of your listeners...
I was going to say, if anybody's got anything out there that they think would interest you, how can they contact you?
Oh, well, on the website, brandnewretro.ie, there is, on the About section, there's a contact button there, and it's you can click on that. It's brandnewretro@outlook.com.
Cool.
That would be great.
Could be another book there, Brian.
Pardon?
Could be another book.
On the book has 700 images, and the website has 3,500.
Oh, wow.
So... there's still more on the website, but no plans for another one at the moment anyway.
Yeah.
Just now.
Yeah. So how long did it take? Sorry?
Pardon?
Oh, how long did it take to get everything together? Say, from the initial idea that you were going to put a book together to having the finished article, the finished book in your hands, how long did it take?
Oh, well, as I said, Joe started working on some design concepts back in the summer of 2014. We agreed to work on it during the World Cup of 2014, and you know, I'd be thinking about it, working on it, but we really, really didn't get down to business for a number of reasons until March of last year. And but then after that, it was full throttle. For example, I would have, by Easter holidays, like both of us, this is a part-time project for the book. So Easter holidays, my Easter holidays was spent working on the book. My summer holidays was spent working on the book. My weekends, you know, right through until the end of August. So from sort of March to August, it was pretty intensive. And a limited social life. had very understanding spouses who looked after a lot of the family matters. So we, you know, we couldn't have done it without their help. That's my wife Sinead and Joe's wife Audrey.
Very much a labour of love, really. At the end of the day,
you said, Paula, that very, very much was. You know, and I even have said to myself, with it, so much love put into it, so much care and attention to, and great appreciation for the original material.
Yeah.
You know, like, even Joe had to do an awful lot of repair work on some of the images because, you know, I saved a lot of these magazines from Skips.
Isn't that amazing?
But they were quite damaged and that. So, you know, so the, if it's something, if the corners were frayed or something like that, Joe would repair that in, say, in the digitized process.
Yeah, he's a clever boy, isn't he, Joe?
He is, yeah.
So where did the original title, Brand New Retro, come from? Where did you, where did that...
Oh, that's a good one. You know the trip-hop artist Tricky?
Yes.
From, yeah, he back in the 90s, he had a song called, actually, forgot it now. God, it's just come in my head. Brand New, You're Retro.
Right, okay.
That was, or that was a line in his song, and I remember thinking, "Oh, that's interesting." You know, I like that, and so I actually used that title, "Brand New Retro," for a radio show I did myself. I used back in the late 90s, and I liked it. And the reason I used it was that I was playing tunes that were old, that were retro, but probably the first time people had heard them. So I just applied the same concept to. When I started the blog, from a point of view that the images that I was scanning, the whole rule was that I was not going to scan anything that was already on the internet.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, you know, why bother?
Bit pointless, yeah.
There needs to be a reason and purpose. So it was retro stuff, it was brand new, i.e. it's first time ever on the on the web. So...
Fascinating. Absolutely fascinating. But did you learn anything from putting this book together? I know, like, do you know what I mean? If it's first time doing this kind of thing, was there anything that maybe you do differently if you had to do it all again?
Yes. Nothing like major. But yes, you do learn a lot. I mean, doing things is the best way to learn things.
Yeah.
I'd say that's be my advice to anybody. Just do it and you will learn and make mistakes.
Yeah.
You know, that's okay. You got to. It certainly would be my ethos in life as well, like that whole punk do-it-yourself attitude. So, I have many lessons learned, but, you know, we are very happy with the outcome. So,
yeah, it's like you were saying earlier about fanzines and things. They used to have a certain look to them, didn't they? You kind of expected them to look a certain way. And you kind of get this with your book as well, you know?
It was the fanzines would have been handwritten and stapled together and stuff like that. But when you look back at the ones that I certainly read and reread, they were always the better presented ones. You know, the ones that had some thought into the design and the layout. And, you know, so I think, it's good to have that raw spirit, but you need to be you need to spend time on how you present it as well.
Definitely.
Like, so if you look at the fanzines I like, I liked the Back of the Time Heat was a Dublin one that is featured in the book. The whole page in the book, they spent a lot of time on the layout and design, but the content was really good too. At the fanzine I worked on with my brother, Too Late, whatever, you know, we weren't designers or anything, but We you know, the layout was good. It worked. Some other fanzines I know that there's too much writing in them, to have the spacing is wrong. And you're less inclined. It's really strange. You're just less inclined to, less attracted to it if it's badly presented.
Mm. So you're with Liberty's Press now, a fantastic little group of guys. So how did you get involved with them initially?
Remember I mentioned that we did the prototype of a book?
Yes.
Which was essentially just 50 pages.
Yeah.
And that was our vehicle for getting the attention of publishers. So
you
imagine, Paul, if I had this the idea for the book, and I was trying to explain it to you, if I could just show you what I meant in a physical format, it really works. So, but, you know, we didn't have enough copies to send those to all publishers.
Yeah.
And publishers have a process of getting, of how you get your book published. You know, if you go to any of the websites to listen to that. But we wanted to go through all that process. You know, we knew we had something really good.
Yes.
And something different. So, with Joe came up with this great idea actually to send a big one poster to a number of publishers, which was actually one of the old ads that we just put on it with a short sentence at the bottom saying, "Hi, if you're interested in a brand new book, please contact us here."
Yeah.
Simple as that.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was a great tease. And sent it to five publishers, and within 2 days, three publishers got back to us, and the other two got back later on. And we you know, with Liberties, they liked the book straight away, and they got us straight away.
Yeah.
And I was impressed with their independent values.
Yes.
You know, and they had a strong Irish back catalog.
Yeah.
And we're keen on promoting Irish work. So that appealed to me as well. But most of all, that we were going to get total artistic freedom in coming up with the book.
Yeah.
And that, I think, it was the clincher, because myself and Joe, really enjoyed the creative process.
Mm.
And we wanted to do it our way without somebody coming in and saying, "Well, listen, I think you're going to have to put more green or some shamrocks on this cover or something like that." You know?
I think it takes the fun out of it a little bit, doesn't it, as well, if they're saying, "Oh, we want you to do this. And
yeah, because the motivation was to create a beautiful project, not and you know, in the way that we wanted to do it. So
Oh, no, you definitely did. I mean, anyone going into Easons or any other good bookshop, you'll see this book straight away. It's so eye-catching as well, and the size of it, you can't miss it on the shelf.
No. And the cover is very... The cover is actually... I don't know if you want to talk about that, Paul. It does feature all the magazines that were used in the book, all the old Irish magazines, together on a newsstand. And that newsstand actually is right outside Easton's, ironically. And we borrowed that from Foxy and Chris, and got up really early one Sunday morning to shoot that cover.
Yeah.
Before they started business at 8 o'clock. So I think it was important that we got the magazines onto the cover.
Yes.
In a
yes.
way that was a physical way too. So I'm glad you like it.
Yeah. So thanks so much anyway for taking the time to talk to me today, Brian. It's been absolutely fascinating and brilliant talking to you.
Thanks very much, Paula. I enjoyed the conversation too.
Cool. So Brand New Retro by Brian McMahon is published by the lovely guys at Liberty's Press, and it's available now in all good bookshops. And if you are interested in you have anything at home that you think that Brian might be interested in, you can go to the brandnewretro.ie website and contact him, and I'm sure he'd love to hear from you. Thanks again, Brian.
Absolutely. Thanks very much, Paula. Bye-bye.